website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, joining the dialogue and discussion that we have on this broadcast each and every day as we face the issues. It is our prayer each day that you will be encouraged, illuminated, educated, challenged, and refreshed with some of the information that we discuss with the issues each and every day. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not base our decisions and comments on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, political jargon, but we base it on what the Word of God says. How should we then live, was the question that was asked by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33, chapter 33, verse 10. I believe it's time that we as Christians open our eyes and realize that much of what we see in society today is not what would be called real biblical salvation. That's what we're talking about today. That's the issue. What makes a person a real Christian? Did you hear the question? What makes a person a real Christian? There are a lot of folks today that identify as Christian. Just because you live in America doesn't make you a Christian. I remember back in the 60s, someone an evangelist was asking a person if you're saved, and he showed him his Masonic ring. He said, I didn't ask if your ring was saved. I ask you if you're saved. Salvation is not being a part of a goose, the moose, the got loose club, as I call it. Salvation is not being a part of some organizational structure or denominational dogma. Salvation is a decision by choice. But ladies and gentlemen, today's world, we see so many voices, hear so many voices. We see so many today leaning on denominational dogma and layer after layer of tradition for salvation. Did you know today that multitudes that call themselves Christians do not recognize true biblical salvation and how it's attained? We'll be talking about that today, and I pray that you'll stay tuned, call others, and ask them to join in the dialogue and discussion. Right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines. That number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after we finish a brief monologue, we'll ask you to call in. Join the discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, as I remind you each and every day on the broadcast, we face the issues based on the Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, as the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, makes this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says the truth of the Lord endures forever. But as I've said so many times, day after day after day on this broadcast, multitudes reject the truth. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell. Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. This is the reason as Christians we need to be dogmatic about what is truth. We need to take a stand based on the truth of the Word of God. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. We have today 55% of the millennials, according to the latest survey, 55% of the money in those 18 to 35-year-old age group say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Their position is, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Are we doing that? Is that noticeable in our churches today? Is that found in Christian lives today? You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when a person is saved, he becomes a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We want to challenge our listeners, you today, in relationship to what is real biblical Christianity. Do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? What are the references in the Scripture that validate your salvation? Is it true, or is it based on the dogma from the Roman Catholic Church or other religious organizations? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. There's an identification to find Tools for Time. It's located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. On that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read a headline and a brief paragraph of it. That sets the stage for where we're going. We'll open our telephone lines. This headline says, salvation cannot be found in politics or in popes, end quote. This article reads in part, Christ himself said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, but he never said it would be led by the Vatican. That's a powerful statement. Let me just read a brief paragraph. Since the death of Pope Francis on Easter Monday, social media has been filled with expressions of loss, mourning, as well as opinions, some positive, some negative, about Francis' time on the throne. The deceased pontiff is being heralded by his warmth and generosity of spirit, particularly as directed at the poor and otherwise marginalized migrants, victims of war, and the members of the LGBTQ community. Francis' actions could be often stunned at those who saw them less as outreach and more as alienation of the faithful and confusion for everyone else. Francis talked and believed that cohabitation of couples are not a violation of the church teachings. His appointment of a pro-abortion activist to the Pontiff Academy of Life. Further, it says, Christ himself said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. This is an embedded statement. But he never said it would be led by the Vatican. It goes on to say, we should be careful about assuming that the preservation of Christ's church succeeds or fails depending on what happens in the Vatican, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty powerful statement. Now listen, we asked yesterday on yesterday's broadcast, was the Pope a real Christian? And my summarization, my opinion, you can have your own opinion, is that he was not a real Christian because of the things he said, the things that he believed in, the things that he taught, what he embraced for what would be called Christianity. I'm concerned that 1.4 billion people around the globe that follow the pontiff, his teachings, his beliefs, and whoever succeeds him continuing that teaching and belief system, I'm concerned about what is real salvation and whether we have so many people on the face of the globe that are totally ignorant if I may use that term benevolently, totally ignorant of what biblical salvation is, how are you to know if you're a real Christian? Is it based on sacraments, the seven sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church? Is it based on those sacraments? That is, in that sacramental system that is utilized so often and thinking that that is real salvation, the sacraments of marriage, sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, penance, anointing the sick, etc., etc. Does that make you saved? About 1.5 billion people think that. I have with me today Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, and together jointly we're going to talk about it. We'll let them speak in just a moment. First of all, I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with your question or comment, please.
Gentlemen, how are you all doing this morning?
Jim there.
Yes, I'm here.
Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello?
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me, Dr. Youngblood?
Apparently we've lost contact with our callers. What is a real Christian? What makes a real Christian? Is it Jim or Kenneth? Jim, go ahead with the question. Hello?
Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Outstanding. I can take the rest of your show and tell you what a Christian is there. It's pretty simple to me. I know that I cannot do anything to earn grace. I know that no other man can give me grace except for Jesus Christ. I know that I am imperfect. I am a sinner. I also know that without Jesus Christ, I cannot come into the heaven. He's my Savior. I know that He died for me. I know that the Scripture tells me that. And it comes back to what we spoke about yesterday, sola scriptura. It's pretty simple.
Jim, let me ask, he's my Savior. Let me ask a poignant question then and jump in with this. It was John Calvin that used the term sola scriptura, scripture only, dozens if not hundreds and hundreds of times in the life and work of his so-called ministry. But yet he mythologized the scripture. He used it simply as a leaping place, stepping stone, rather than exegeting the scripture. But yet he said sola scriptura. He used mythology for more and used the kind of a simple a sense of the scripture really doesn't say that. Let's find a secret meaning in it. So the thing that bothers me and concerns me with those that will say sola scriptura, not saying you, but others, I'm sure that the Pope would say scripture only if he were alive today. I'm sure that 1.5 billion Catholics would say today scripture only. But they use that scripture along with the other dogmas of the religious order and believe that. For example, within that realm, the Pope himself said that a person cannot be saved except in a belief in Mary and the Mother Church, end quote. How do you respond to that for the listeners today that may be wondering if they're saved or not?
Well, that second part about Mary is inherently incorrect, and it's not found anywhere in the Bible that I've read. When I use sola scriptura there, I'm using the Latin derivative that scripture only.
Right.
The misinterpretation of that scripture, if you look at it historically, you could see where the Roman Catholic Church, particularly its Latin heritage, which is the western part of Europe, as opposed to the Orthodoxy part, which then became the Byzantine or the Holy Roman Empire, and its development through history. So my apologies for using sola scriptura in a non-clergy. I just understand it to be scripture only, and in my opinion,
well, you're
the
right
King
in
James
that
Bible.
Sense. Yeah, you're right in
is,
that sense.
I'm
just simply pointing out there are multitudes of religious orders that will use that as a dogma, and yet they deviate from it 1 million miles away. For example, if it is scripture only, how can any religious order or denominational dogma teach that it's by works, teach that it's by you're saved by baptism, or that you're saved because of some mystical thing that somehow, some way, God has appointed you to heaven and appointed some to hell. And that's what is found in so many different areas today among the dogmas of the denominationalism. So you're exactly right. It needs to go back to the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Not what a denominational dogma might say. Not what the Pope may say, but what the Word of God says. You're on target with that 100%. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And for your comments. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, take a moment and intervene before we take our next caller. With what we just talked about, what we just said, if the Pope says that every religion, and he named them, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, et cetera, all religions will ultimately lead to heaven. It's just a different path to get there. How do you respond to that, Dr. Phelps?
What he has said is that the religions that we call idolatry are the same as Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. We believe that there's only one true God. There's only one truth, and that's found in the Bible. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. It is not found in an organization. It is not found in what we can do for ourselves. It's what it's not just believing anything that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
It is believing the truth. We believe that God sent his Son into the world for one purpose.
Amen.
And that was to save sinners like me and you.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Phelps, one little kind of footnote to that question in your statement. Multitudes, in fact, may I even be bold enough to say, I think if you talk with the 1.4 billion that adhere to Roman Catholicism today, they would say, yes, we believe in Jesus. How do you respond to that?
They have a distorted view that's given to them through their religious organization.
Mm-hmm.
They present Jesus that is contrary, that is, present Jesus in a way that is contrary to the Scriptures. They speak of him as the Son of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says he's the Son of God.
Yes.
We believe that he is God in flesh. And that's what the incarnation means.
Absolutely. And yet the Pope said just less than 2 years ago, Pope Francis said that Jesus Christ is not divine. He is not God at all. And yet we're to believe that somehow, some way, that's coming from the mouth of a Christian, a saved person. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I tell you, no, he wasn't a Christian. It's like, I forgot the Pope's name that blessed Hitler on his rampage, should I say, through Europe. It's a, how can I say it? It's a false. The Roman Catholic Church, when Constantine said that, okay, Christianity. But every pope I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm over less than 100 years, they have not been showing that God is God. They go, Hail Mary, full of grace. No. Mary was the basket carrier, should I say it? For God. And I leave it like that.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. The thing that concerns me, and that's the purpose of the broadcast today, is to bring about awareness as to what is biblical salvation and what is mythological belief about salvation. And I think we need to be very, very careful on that. Some say that you can be saved by good works. Some believe that you have no clue, no choice. God makes the decision for you at all. Some depend on rites, rituals, that's R-I-T-E-S, rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of the church. Others believe that somehow praying to Mary for forgiveness will save you, but that is not salvation at all. So we need to be very, very careful. And we're, after just a few moments, we're going to talk about what is biblical salvation? How do you be saved? How do you get saved? We're going to look at scripture after scripture after scripture of what would be called traditionally the God's plan of salvation. A candidate deserves our prayer and our concern, because right now we're witnessing a global weeping, mourning, and a sense of sorrow over the loss of the pontiff, the Catholic Pope. Now, as I've said before, we need to be sorrowful for the loss of any national, international, local leader, whether it be religious or political. But it doesn't mean that we are to agree with that and in some way, somehow, think that he is the salvation vessel for mankind. That is simply not the case. Kenneth, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you today.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Davis, I'm going to read a headline, and then we're going to talk about it. Pope Francis decrees that Christian salvation is only through the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to read just a brief paragraph of that. To most people in the world, especially in the Western Hemisphere, the United States and Canada, Christianity is the belief that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and only through him are our sins forgiven. He did say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father without going through Jesus. Pope Francis, on the other hand, may have something else to say, because according to him, the only way to God is through the Roman Catholic Church. According to an article, Now the End Begins, Pope Francis enforced this view. The only way to God cannot be done without the Virgin Mary and the Mother Church of Rome. Without both, you're simply condemned to burn in hell for eternity. That's the statement by the Pope. So, Dr. Davis, what do you say to the listeners that believe that the Pope's words are final and that's authoritative? How does that, comply with what the Bible says?
Well, first of all, I want to say good morning to my bride of 39 years and my friends Eric and Tina. I asked them to listen up today, man, and they have been very faithful listeners since I met them a few weeks ago.
Tell them to pick up the phone and call in.
Amen. So I thank God, amen, for them and for everyone else that's listening. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, for me, I am so glad that that's only his opinion and not the truth.
That's right.
Now, we have to understand, Scripture says that anyone who comes to God first must believe that he is, or that he exists, mm-hmm. and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Diligently, that word means you don't let anything stand in your way. Mm-hmm. Complacency, misinformation, ignorance, neglect, none of these things should stand in your way of finding out all about God and who he is, since you now know. And I'm saying now because you're hearing it from us.
Yes.
That you have to depend on him for your salvation.
That's right.
Now, when we look at Mary, and I'm just hitting and skipping over a few things, because I tell you what, we'll be out of time before we're out of word. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand that Mary is a great lady according to Scripture, mm-hmm. but she's not to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what the Scripture had to say, and I just circled a few. Coming from Luke chapter 1, this is what Elizabeth had to say when she came and saluted her, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost along with the baby John that she was carrying in her womb, John the Baptist. Said here, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, this is Luke 1 and 42, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Skip down to verse 45. And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which foretold her from the Lord. Skip down to verse 48. For he had regarded, and this is what Mary had to say in regard to what Elizabeth said to her. Verse 48. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. You don't see anywhere in there, and I could go on just a little bit further, but we won't do it today. But you don't see anywhere in there where God commanded for her to be worshipped, nor should men come to her for forgiveness of their sins.
That's right.
Because she didn't die on the cross for our sins, even though her son did. What your son did, the works that your son does right now on today, any of your sons, you can't take any credit for that. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they did. They will get paid for their works if they're working on a job, or even as they do work for Christ. Christ is going to pay them for what they've done and not for what you did as a pastor. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand there should be a separation of truth from error when it comes down to we as being Christians, knowing what the truth of the word say, because believing head knowledge is not enough. Because the book of James said that the devils also believe and they tremble. So head knowledge is not enough. We need to get down into this thing a lot more deeper than what we are today, because it really saddens my heart. Sometimes I have to question some people that tell me that they're Christians because they have a lot of works on the outside, but nothing from the inside. And I'm talking about what's on the inside will show up on the outside. If you got Christ Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is living within you, the first fruit that the Spirit is going to bear in your life is love. Mm-hmm. Love demands a response. Mm-hmm. When you get out there, it's an action word. When you get out there and start doing things for Christ, you're doing it out of a heart full of love, godly fear, and compassion for Him. So you have to realize now, not only, and I'm going to wrap this up right here, that Christ died for us, He also lives today. He got up. He ascended to heaven, and He's now sitting on the right hand of God. So for a Christian, if you even want to be a Christian, point blank, from the start, you first must believe that Christ Jesus was virgin born. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the grave, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He still lives right now today. So we're not serving a dead Savior. We still serve a living Savior.
Absolutely. Amen? Now let me play, as the world calls it, the devil's advocate. The Pope said he loved everybody. The Pope was a humanitarian. The Pope said that we need to take care of the poor, need to take care of the hungry, need to take care of the homeless. In fact, he was a major pusher that we need to do something about climate change because it was going to destroy the planet, destroy the people, etc., etc. But yet we can't say that the Pope was saved. How can we say that? Dr. Phelps, how do you view that? He was a humanitarian. He believed in taking care of people, etc., etc., etc. Does that save anybody?
No, sir. We believe the Bible teaches us that people need to be saved. Mm-hmm. People need to be saved. And the big problem is sin. The Bible teaches us that our great grandfather, Adam, mm-hmm. disobeyed God. And as a result, he ruined his fellowship with God, mm-hmm. his relationship with God. And he had to come to repentance and faith and believe that God had a way to solve that sin problem. And so because of the sin problem, we're all alienated from God.
That's right.
But God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to God. That's one of the reasons that Jesus came. And unless we are reconciled to God, then we're lost.
And the reconciliation to God comes through our faith and trust in Him.
Yes.
And asking Him to intercede on our behalf. I'm looking at this article again where Pope Francis decrees that Christian salvation is only through the Roman Catholic Church. He goes on further and says, there needs to be an intercession of the Virgin Mary. Second, you cannot love God outside of the church. And third, you cannot be in communion with God without being in the church. That's totally antithetical to what the Scripture says, I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our discussion today. What makes a person a real Christian? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine.